Well, I would appreciate your prayers this morning. Lord, bless His word. I'd like to speak to you by the Lord's help about something that I believe has practical application in each one of our lives. Something that speaks to our nature, our makeup, the way God made us. Something that can be a great blessing to us and yet at the same time can be a real detriment to us. I'd like to speak this morning of something that the song references. I wonder if we could sing number 299, verse 4. The Lord has been talking to me about this week is the tide of emotion referenced in this song, and I have to ask family to bear with me as I shared some of these thoughts in family worship. We talked about them. The tide of emotion. I think any of us who have visited the sea, seashore, the beach would understand the thought of the tide, especially those that live in coastal areas, understand well the tide and the impact that the tide has on their lives and their business maybe and fishing or whatever it is. The tide primarily has what influence or what effect? There's a high tide and there's a low tide, isn't there? We've been to Bar Harbor, Maine. If any have been to the Northeast or have been to that specific area, there is a place that you can walk out to an island and you can walk on a gravel bar across what is the sea. You can walk across to the island. It's maybe a quarter mile walk or something out to the island. But you have to come back at a certain time of the morning because as the tide begins to rise, it covers over that gravel bar. And whenever we walked across it, it wasn't just a matter of a few hours later. We had hiked up to an area overlooking that harbor and we looked out and there was no gravel bar. It was just water between the shore and the island. You couldn't walk across it then. Tides come and go. Tides are high one part of the day and they're low the next part of the day. And whenever we think about what the songwriter is talking of here, our emotions can tend to do the same thing. Our emotions can tend to follow the pattern of a tide. They're high one moment and they're low the next moment. High one day and low the next day. The tide of emotion. Well, when we think about a tide, it has value in ecology. It's important to sea life and the health of the seashore. And I'm no expert on marine life or anything, but it's vital in being able to feed and replenish life in some of those low-lying areas around the coast. Brings fish in at high tide to closer areas, those that are fishermen and depend on that. Well, the Lord set it all up in His great and His marvelous plan. It's something that was hard to be understood And it's still something of a mystery in the way it works. But the best that we understand today, it has influenced the water of our seas. It's influenced by the gravitational pull of the moon. Again, hard maybe to grasp how that can be, but we see the effects of it. We may not understand altogether how it works and why it works the way it does, but we can see the effects of it on the water level. We can see the effects whenever it's up 5 or 6 feet and then it's down and it exposes lower lying areas. You know, there is, well, let's begin this morning in Psalms 139. 139th Psalm, the 13th verse says, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret, and curiously wrought in the lowest places, parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book are my members, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." Oh, the Lord understands us, folks, all together. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Just as it's hard for us maybe to understand all the workings of how the moon exerts influence, what, 293,000 miles or whatever it is to the moon, that it's able to exert an influence that's hard to understand or be able to fully explain, and yet it happens. Yet it is a reality. So it is with things about myself that are hard sometimes to understand. It's hard for me to put words around. It's hard for me sometimes to describe how I'm feeling. Not just I feel healthy or unwell, but we are curiously wrought. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And this emotional makeup of our being is something that God created. What God created, He looked on and said, it's good. You ever cut yourself or burn yourself and think, oh, I wish I didn't have nerves. Oh, I wish I couldn't feel pain. You know, pain is a blessing. To be able to feel pain is a blessing. We'll put it that way. And if we think about what it would be like if we didn't have the capacity to feel pain, you know, it could be dangerous. And we won't dwell on that, but the Lord gave us nerves for a reason. We're fearfully and wonderfully made and intricately interconnected. You know, emotions can hurt just about like our nerves. And there can be times that we might say, oh, I wish I didn't have to deal with emotions. I wish I didn't have these emotions, and I wish I didn't have any emotions. Can you imagine this morning what life would be like if you felt no emotion? Can you imagine? We can imagine well enough how speaking is if there is no emotion in speaking. We are not created to be robotic. We are not created to just be mechanical. There's emotion, there's feeling in the way we live, in the way we express ourselves, in the way we experience life around us. Emotion is God-given. But I want us to consider the tide of emotion this morning. Again, the Lord has not created us just to be robotic and mechanical. You know, if we didn't have emotions, we wouldn't know the joy of the birth of a new child, a son or a daughter or a grandchild. We wouldn't know that feeling of hope within our hearts. We wouldn't know what happiness and the emotion of love, of compassion, of those feelings, we wouldn't know what it was. So we can look at pain, we can look at hurts, we can look at those kind of feelings and say, I wish I didn't have them. I wish I didn't have to cope with emotions. But emotions are God-given, again. Emotions in and of themselves are not bad. It's not a bad thing. It is created of God. We're created with this capacity to feel emotion. And I hope we realize the blessing that that is to us. But just as the tide comes and goes, so emotions do as well. It can happen. And some people are more given maybe to emotion, or of a more emotional makeup. And you know, I've come to the conclusion, I believe the Lord created us differently. I believe the Lord has given us different personalities, different tendencies. There are some people who relate to things around them more through their intellect, or maybe their reason. It's got to all be logical, and I've got to be able to line it all out to understand it. There are some people who relate to life more through their emotions, through what they feel and experience. And you know, both are valuable. Both are important. And I believe it's part of the diverse body of Christ that the Lord wants to bring and be able to work in harmony together. But I've got to realize and understand, just as I can't lean upon, if I'm someone who processes things around me through my reason and trying to logically line it out, I can't lean upon that. I can't depend on that. So if I'm someone who is of an emotional disposition, I can't rely upon that. I can't depend upon that. We've all got to depend upon the Lord. Emotions can yield to passions, which can lead to actions. But emotions in and of themselves, feelings, and some draw some nuanced distinction maybe between the feelings and emotions. I'm not interested in trying to dissect that. But what I feel sometimes, again, can be complicated. Can be kind of hard to describe. Hard to explain why I'm feeling the way I am. You ever find yourself in that kind of place? You know, I just don't feel like it today. I just don't feel up to it. And you try to put your finger on it and say, well, why am I feeling this way? You know, I don't know. Of course, there are times I know exactly why I'm feeling this way. But it can be hard for us to fully understand. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. The Lord understands us from the inside out. He understands those deep parts about us. We many times just kind of work and deal with kind of the surface level or the effects, the ripples on the water, without understanding what's underneath the surface that's causing all of that. Well, I don't want you to feel like this is a psychological assessment or discourse today. You know, psychology is of the Lord is about psychology, not as the world goes, just as the Lord is about science, not as the world goes. What I mean by this, the Lord is about psychology. He understands us. He understands our makeup like nobody else does. Like I don't about myself, because He made us. And we are so fearfully and wonderfully made. The Lord is able to look right down inside of us and know why we're feeling the way we feel. And to know what that's all about. Sometimes our feelings, sometimes our emotions can be affected by our experiences in life. Sometimes they can become distorted by trauma in our lives, by things that we've gone through. One way that might manifest itself, somebody maybe hurt deeply in a relationship or something, and they say, I don't want to feel that again. I don't want to experience that again. I'm going to learn to cope by shutting myself off, by stilling myself that I just don't feel. I've heard the story of many soldiers coming back from theaters of war who have come back. Well, Brother Jim White testified to it himself, coming, lived there in Green Bank and was a faithful, wonderful man of God for many years. His testimony was he came out of World War II, was part of the 101st Airborne Division on D-Day. He saw a lot in the war, and he came out of that and he couldn't even feel anything. His wife, and I believe had a young child maybe at the time, he just couldn't feel those natural emotions. He had learned to cope, and the experiences that he had had in the theater of war had so affected him emotionally that he learned to cope with it by just kind of numbing himself to his emotions. So the way we feel about things can be affected by things that have happened to us, by our life's experiences. So it's not, I believe, so necessary for us this morning that we be able to articulate and describe exactly about our emotional makeup. But I want us to realize and consider this morning, whenever our emotions can begin to affect our spiritual walk with the Lord, as they well can. Let's look at Romans, the 6th chapter. Romans chapter 6, the 16th verse says, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness." Now Paul is dealing very clearly through this chapter about the effect of sin and what place sin does or doesn't have in our life. And his conclusion, to me without question, is that it has no place in the life of a Christian. That God forbid that we should continue in our sins whenever we yield our members unto sin or unrighteousness. We become servants unto that. But I want us to think about the flesh and its desires. You know, every desire of the flesh is not wrong. We hunger. We thirst. And that's not wrong. There are desires that we have, that the flesh has, that aren't going to need to be satisfied in heaven when we are in spirit and a glorified body after the resurrection. It'll be different then. But now we're in the flesh of this body, and we feel the pains of hunger. We feel the desires for acceptance and love and those kind of things that are God-given desires. But what we have to realize, as Paul said, I bring under my body and I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should become a castaway. The flesh and all the ways of its desires, again, feelings and thoughts in and of themselves are not sin. The question is, what do I yield myself unto? Whenever a thought is presented to my mind, what do I do with that thought? Do I give it lodging? Do I give it place where I'm going to yield myself in continuance of thought and meditation and following through and acting upon desires? So with feeling. Feelings can lead themselves to passions. And as we give ourselves over to those feelings, as we yield ourselves to those feelings and to those passions, that leads to actions in our lives. What do we yield ourselves unto? When we're thinking about emotions, as we've already discussed, were God-given to be a blessing unto us, to help us in life. You know, the Lord wants us to enjoy our salvation. The Lord wants us to feel the joy of being delivered from sin. That there's something that just rises up within us of, what did he say? You shall draw water. With joy shall you draw water from the wells of salvation. The Lord wants us to be able to experience and feel those kind of things. But our emotions are to be a blessing to us. They're to, if you can think of it this way, to serve us and not us to serve them. Whenever we feel those emotions, and again, it may be hard to describe or to understand why exactly I'm feeling the way I do. Have you ever felt that? That sometimes feelings of depression, I'll use as an example. You know, that can settle in over you just kind of like a dark cloud. And it's like there's no one precise thing you can put your finger on and say, this is what it is. It's just, I don't know, I just feel a heaviness. I just feel a weight. I just feel something weighing down my spirit. The question then becomes, folks, for one, understand that you're not abnormal. That these things are common unto man. What did the disciples say in one place? We are men of like passions. We feel what you feel. We feel what it is to be rejected. Jesus did, didn't he? He felt what it was to be despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows. He knows what that feeling is. And maybe we'll come back to that later. Thank the Lord he does. Men of like passions. What do I do with that then? Am I going to yield myself unto that feeling and say, well, that's just my identity. I'm just depressed. Or do I take a stand against that? And recognize if the Lord can use emotions for our blessing and for our benefit, you think Satan will try to use it too? You think Satan will try to use that as an instrument or a tool as well? Absolutely he will. Our emotions are real. I can try to tell myself, I don't feel that. I don't feel that. If I feel it, I feel it. But it doesn't have to be an accurate representation of who I am. You know, I'm struggling with a feeling of being depressed maybe. You know, maybe I'm feeling some feelings that the enemy's trying to attach to me of resentment. Maybe I'm feeling some things of bitterness. I can't yield myself unto that and become a bitter person and become an unforgiving, resentful person. Whenever there's a desire that comes, you know, it's the avenue through which the enemy tempts people as well. We are tempted when we're drawn away of our own lust. And of course, that has a connotation to it. But the desires of this flesh, of this body, the things that we feel and the God-given desires even that we have, the enemy tries to channel those. He tries to approach us through those feelings, through those emotions. And the scripture there in James talks about the progression. When we're drawn away of those lusts and of those desires, when we allow it to draw us down that path, then there's a snare set there. There's a place that the enemy wants to bring temptation to us. What temptation would it be to be spitefully used and persecuted if I felt no feelings? Folks, I want to tell you, I'm getting ahead of myself a little bit. There's a place for the Holy Spirit's workings in our life. And that's the song that we sang at verse. That's what it's dealing with. But you know, I believe even saved and sanctified individuals still have feelings. I believe even the most sanctified of saints still have feelings. It's the avenue again for temptation. The Lord, through sanctification, does not raise us to a level that we are exempted from temptation, that we don't feel the feelings that men feel anymore. And yet there is, it doesn't take away from the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and in our lives. He gives us power. Those places that would be ruts in our lives, that I just have tendencies maybe to settle into this rut of emotion and of feeling and this pattern that I go into. The Holy Spirit is there when that feeling presents itself to me. That feeling can be sanctified by the Holy Spirit. That I don't have to become a servant, a slave unto that feeling, unto that emotion anymore. I can put it in its God-given place and keep it there by the power of the Holy Spirit working in my heart and in my life. So that feeling may be a very real feeling. But by the grace and power of God and the working of the Holy Spirit, it doesn't have to define me. The thing about testimony I've heard Sister Maxine give, when she was struggling with, I believe it was depression, and struggling deeply with it at times, to her own testimony, and her husband would come home at times and she'd say, "Honey, I'm just so depressed." And the Lord talked to her and said, "Don't say I'm so depressed. You can say I'm battling depression. But don't take on that identity. Don't yield yourself unto those feelings and unto those emotions where I just say, well, I just can't help it. It's the way I feel." No, by God's grace and by His help, I can recognize that thing. I can acknowledge, yes, this is how I feel. Oh, folks, what a privilege it is to be able to, what does the song say, to bring everything to God in prayer. That we can come, we don't have to try to sugarcoat it before the Lord. That, folks, we can just be raw. We can bring our emotions to the Lord. Lord, what they said hurt. Lord, it hurts me. Lord, I'm struggling with some bitterness here. Lord, when I see that person now, there's something that's trying to rise up. Lord, I don't just try to ignore it and act like it's not there. Lord, I want to face that thing by your help and by your grace. Lord, this is how I'm feeling. Lord, help me to bring that thing into captivity. Lord, help me not to become servant to that thing. Folks, if we're not careful, the devil will, through the flesh, whether it's our emotions or other desires of the flesh that are for another time, he will, through our emotions, try to bring us into a place of servitude where the enemy holds sway over us by our emotions. Again, it's not just the feeling, but through our feelings to get us to a place. Well, I just don't feel like going to church today. You know what? I tried to read the Bible and I didn't feel any encouragement from it. And you see how those feelings, the devil can try to take and harness those. And say, well, you know what? What good is that then? Or you know what? You went to service and you didn't feel any great inspiration. And well, what's the use? You know, it's important for us to be able to identify where the devil is, what he's trying to do. And we can see that in part by what is this producing in my life? What is this leading me to? What is the path that this is putting me on? Is it driving me to the Lord? Is it driving me to say, Lord, I'm going to hold you even closer. Lord, I'm going to seek you even more fervently. Or is it causing the tendency to be just discouraged? I just don't feel like trying. I'm just losing my zeal and my passion for the things of God. Emotions are real. Emotions are something to be reckoned with. They're something to be dealt with. They are not our instruments. By instruments, I mean they're not our gauges. they can be indicative of some things. If I over time, I just don't have a desire for the things of the Lord, it can be something that caused me to say, you know, I need to go do some searching. But I want to caution us against following the tide of emotions. One of the things that a pilot is taught early on, at least by the time he's getting instrument ratings, is that you can't just trust on your sight. Because you know what? There are going to be times that you can't see. You might be flying at night and there's no street lights below you. You might fly into a cloud bank or into fog and suddenly you can't see. The things that look so familiar looking out the window, all you can see is yourself enveloped in white. What do you do now? And they teach you, you can't trust your instincts. You can't depend on your feeling. It feels like I'm flying level. It feels like I'm flying the right direction. Because it can be so deceptive. This inner ear is an amazing thing for balance and all of that. But it can become full. You can gradually, little by little, veer off course. And your body not even recognize it. It can normalize to that new pitch that you're flying. And suddenly it feels like you're flying straight and level. They call it the graveyard spiral. That you can, in foggy conditions and things like that, you can actually be banking and decreasing altitude and not even know it. And you're going in a spiral straight for the ground or the water. And if I go off of my feelings, if I go off of what seems right to me, it's not going to correct the course that I'm on. There is a way that seems right to a man. It feels right. My emotions validate it over and over. But I can't depend on that. I can't rely on my emotions. I can't thank the Lord for them when they're sanctified. And by God's help, I keep them in the proper place. But I can't yield myself to them. I can't give myself over to them to say, you're what's going to govern how I fly. I'm going to fly according to the way I feel. Or we're never going to make it through. Remember the testimony of one brother by the name of Brother Warner. He said one time he was holding a meeting. Okay, he's a preacher. You know, preachers have to deal with feelings too. He was a minister and he was holding a meeting and it came time for the word. And you like to say, oh, the Spirit is just moving and there's such an uplifting of inspiration and you just can't hardly... There's times like that. But there's also times like Brother Warner said, that night I didn't even feel like I was saved. What? Brother D.S. Warner? You're a powerful man of God? You don't even feel like you're saved? It's because that's just feelings. And I can't go off of that. And he got up and he preached anyway and the Lord blessed it mightily. Folks, we're going to have to realize that we are men and women of like passions. And if I allow myself to be governed by feelings, that's a graveyard spiral. But if I can... Well, I think we need to go to 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, says in verse 7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. I can't depend on what this flesh or this body can recognize. I don't depend, whether it be through feel or it be through sight, I can't depend on that. That's not what I walk according to. He didn't condemn sight. He just said we don't walk by that. We don't let our lives be governed by what we see. If he did, he wouldn't have had the testimony he had. These light afflictions, which are but for a moment, they work a far greater and exceeding eternal weight of glory. Because I'm not looking at these things. That's not my indicator. So I want to challenge us today to recognize those emotions, those feelings that could cause us to veer off course. That I recognize that, and I recognize I don't walk according to that. I'm not going to let that govern the direction that I go. I'm not going to let that tell me whether or not I'm going to have worship tonight because I don't feel like it. I'm not going to let whether I feel happy dictate whether I'm going to praise the Lord. I'm not talking about being a hypocrite, but I'm talking about us keeping our feelings and our emotions in subjection unto God and unto the Spirit. The flesh in subjection to the Spirit. We sang the song opening our Sunday school this morning, number 53. When our hearts are full of gladness, which we joyfully proclaim, how it cheers the sad and lonely, how it magnifies His name. It says, praise Him when the heart is heavy. For His children near and far joyfully will bear their burden to our God who answers prayer. When the clouds above us hover and the hosts of hell are near. What does it say? Go off in your corner. Shout His praises, hallelujah. Christ will make them disappear. Folks, again, I pray the Lord to just impress upon us. We can't subject ourselves unto our emotions. Lord, I'll praise You whenever everything's going well. Lord, I'll bless You whenever You deliver me out of this trial. But as Job says, the Lord hath given. The Lord has taken away. Oh, woe is me. Now, Job had some woe is me moments. But he said there, blessed be the name of the Lord. Lord, praise is waiting for Thee in Zion. Whether I feel like it or not. Whether my heart feels heavy or it feels happy. Because it can be just like that tide. One moment it will, and the next moment it may not. And we can almost learn to trick our emotions. You know, people do that? When they're feeling down, when they're feeling gloomy, what can I use as a pick-me-up? What can I use to try to lift my spirits? And some people, well, you know what? I remember the last time I bought a new electronic device. It made me so happy. I'm going to go buy another one and open and unbox that. And I try to get that little surge of happy emotion. Folks, that's a shallow way to try to chase emotion. We're not to chase after emotion, but to set our sight by faith and not by sight. And to realize then that the emotions will follow. The emotions are not to lead. The emotions are to follow. And many people, I fear, get this backwards when it comes to worshiping the Lord. That we've got to somehow work up an emotion. That we've got to get us all together. And you know, music plays to emotion. I don't know. I'd love to talk to someone if they dispute that statement. Music can set the mood. Absolutely. You're going through the grocery store. You're in a restaurant. You know, you notice in a grocery store many times or department store, it'll be a calmer type music that's playing. Well, maybe depending on the store. But they don't want you to be in a hurry and just relax. Take your time here. Emotions can be set. People that are feeling angry in the world, you know where they go? I know people like this. They're going to go turn the heavy metal on. It meshes with that emotion. It feeds that emotion. You know, that's not the way we're to serve the Lord. It's one of the reasons why New Testament Scripture teaches there is a better way than to serve and worship the Lord through our instruments, through the work of men's hands. There's a reason, folks, why we don't have a piano or any other instrument in this place where we worship the Lord. It's not because of tradition. It's not because, well, the old timers didn't. It's because the Lord has a better way in His New Testament form of worship that He teaches. Pray. What did He say in one place? Don't be given to wine, Don't be drunk with wine, but rather filled with the Spirit. You know what people will do with wine or alcohol? Loosen up a little bit. You know, make me a little giddy, make me a little happy. Don't turn to things to make you happy. You know, our emotions are a little bit like harp strings. And we can try to touch those with mechanical means, or we can turn that over to the Lord and say, Lord, oh, through the Holy Spirit, touch our heart strings. Through the Holy Spirit, you touch our feelings and our emotions that are wholly given to Father's control. I don't want us to ever turn to something that tries to produce an emotion. Folks, I've heard it whenever it comes time for prayer in a worship service. The music calms to a quiet calm. And there's an effect that it gives it as the minister gets close and speaks quietly into the mic. And the music plays softly. It sets a mood. It sets a certain feeling in the atmosphere of the people. That's not what we're to rely upon. Folks, it is the Holy Spirit that wants to produce those feelings. And it's not about just feelings anyway. We're not just going to sit here all glummy and gloomy until we get the music up to such a tempo that it starts to loosen me up and let's get some jazzy praise and worship going, and now I can get up on my feet and praise the Lord. No, when the heart is heavy, praise the Lord. Do what's right. Worship the Lord with a pure heart fervently. Come before the Lord with your testimony and your songs. And folks, the Lord will be the one to touch the emotions. Even powerful speakers can move people to tears with no anointing of the Holy Spirit. And folks, if that's what our experience is based on, emotions are going to come and emotions are going to go. There was a man I work with, a Pentecostal man. He was telling me about a service where the Spirit so came down as he was playing the drums, and he'd play faster and faster the more the Spirit would work. And his little boy, I don't know, his child, he just got so filled with the Spirit, he started running around the chapel and running laps and shouting. And then he said, you know, after that service, we got in the car and he was acting like a little devil. Well, I know there's a place that children act like children. But I want us to realize that, folks, salvation does more for us than that. It does more than just produce happy emotions. That then when the tide goes low, I don't have anything left because it's all based on emotion. The Lord wants to anchor us to something more stable than that. So whenever we feel our feelings, I want to encourage us in a couple of steps. Recognize it and identify it. And then tell the Lord about it. We have not a high priest which cannot be touched with what? With the feeling of our infirmities. He is touched with the way we feel. Whenever he saw the grief and the sorrow of Mary and Martha and all those mourning Lazarus, what did he do? He wept right there along with them. Folks, Jesus knows what you feel. He's touched with that feeling. So bring it to the Lord. Bring it to the Lord and tell him about it. And then submit to God's will. Could we sing now the third verse of that song, number 299? Two ninety nine verse three. My feelings are given to fathers control. His wisdom shall ever be my body and soul. His word is sufficient. I see God's sign. I grasp on the promise and Jesus' mind. I'll say great work, yes, I'll sing great. What great word. I'll say the great word, yes. Yield to the Lord. Surrender it to the Lord. It is our sanctification. Yield ourselves, our bodies, our vessels to the Lord to work with. Are we willing to say to the Lord, Lord, I'll serve you whether I ever feel a great emotion or not. Lord, I'll read your word whether I feel a surge of inspiration or not. Lord, I'll come to service when I'm able to worship and praise you whether the feeling is there or not. Whenever we do that and we give it to the Lord, I don't seek a sign. Lord, I'm not going to sit here and wait until the emotion is happy, until I get a sign that I can see and I can feel, and then I'll serve the Lord, and then I'll praise the Lord. I don't seek a sign. Lord, your word is sufficient. It's enough, and by faith I'm going to step forward and keep walking. And I'm going to tell you, the feelings and the emotions will come. The Lord doesn't leave us devoid of emotions, but I'll tell you the emotions that he subjects us to, if I can say it that way. Oh, the bliss, the joy, the deep-seated peace, even in the moments of grief and sorrow and hardship. So Lord, help us not to be as children tossed to and fro. Lord, help us to have emotional stability in the Lord. As I yield myself to the influence and the work of the infilled Holy Spirit, the Lord wants to bring us stability. It's part of growth. We don't expect someone of 20 years old to have the emotional maturity of a 2 or 3 year old. We expect that there's some maturity that's happening. There's some deepening down, that you're not going to regard your emotions as violently as you did when you were that age. And you know, the Lord wants to bring us into such a place too, of maturity in the Lord, of growth in grace, growth in the Lord, of stability. And folks, though there are times in this life that we're not going to feel the emotions, we're not going to feel the surge, it doesn't unsave us. It doesn't take away from the reality of God's word. And you know, one of these days, I think it's the song says, our faith, when our faith shall be lost in the sight. Folks, we're not going to have faith over there. There's going to be emotion and feeling to such a great extent, these hearts would not be able to take it. That's why we'll have a glorified body. It'll be ever without end. The joy and the bliss and the rapture of spirit before the Lord. But while we're here, while we're still under the veil of this body, there's going to be times that we feel the ebb and the flow, the highs and the lows of the tide of emotion. And may our prayer be, Lord, stabilize me through it all. Lord, help me to not be subject unto that. You pray for me. Amen.